Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back. What up? It's AWOD, live and local here on a Tuesday, November 25th. This is the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and we are your home for the Washington Commanders, who return from the bye. They're back at the practice field, gearing up for Sunday Night Football, hosting the Denver Broncos in Week 13 of what has been a very disappointing Commanders season. It's time to open up the phone lines, 833-804-0910, here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for
the phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So, I don't really even want to talk about this because it was a big talk in the offseason. Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels. The Commanders could land a star wide receiver thanks to a contract loophole. According to David Harrison, a new report says the 49ers avoided a star receiver's contract guarantees, which opens the door with a reunion in Washington with the starting quarterback as Jaden Daniels and Brandon Ayuk played together at Arizona State. I think it's pretty obvious that the relationship with Ayuk and the 49ers is on the rocks. Diana Russini of The Athletic reported, Ayuk has failed to attend meetings and declined to participate in other team activities in recent months. And the 49ers have grown increasingly frustrated with the receiver's lack of communication. The 49ers responded by voiding the guaranteed money in Ayuk's contract for 2026, asserting that the absences amounted to a failure to fulfill his contractual obligations. Ayuk told the NFLPA representatives that he did not want to fight the move via an official grievance that would clear the way for his expected release at the season's end. If he's released at the end of the season, there is definitely going to be an ongoing story about the path for him to come to Washington and to team up with Jaden Daniels once again. He's 28 years old. There's a lot of injuries in Brandon Ayuk's history, and I never thought he was that elite. He's going to be asking for a lot of money. I don't know if I'd be interested in it. I'm not against it. I still trust Adam Peters. But I wanted to bring up the topic of how many players currently on the roster would you allow to walk as unrestricted free agents? And that top of that list is Deebo Samuel. And I think for Deebo Samuel to be a Commander, we have to agree on a number. And to me, that number is not higher than $28 million. I don't know what's going to happen with Deebo Samuel. I have a feeling somebody's going to overpay for him. I want him to return. Running back Austin Ekeler. I'm fine with him being gone. As much as he was a huge help for this team and a walking first down last year, I don't think he's going to be able to return to full form from that injury. Marcus Mariota, yeah, he can go. Andrew Wiley, he can go. Bobby Wagner, he can go. Zach Ertz, he can go. Von Miller, he can go. Jonathan Jones, he can go. Noah Brown, he can go. I'm getting rid of everybody.
That's what it sounds like.
There's just nobody really on this team that I really love to stick around. Dietrich Wise, I would keep him if he can return to full health. I liked what he got in a game and a half. Jacob Martin, I actually liked what we got from him at edge rusher. Tressway, yes. Eddie Goldman, yes. Noah Igbinoghe, yes. Safety Darnell Savage, no. Quarterback Josh Johnson, no. Tackle Trent Scott, no. Tackle Lucas Niang, no. Jeremy McNichols, running back, no. I think we can improve there. Wide receiver Chris Moore, no. I definitely think we can improve there. Defensive tackle Sheldon Day, no. Cornerback Antonio Hamilton, no. Tight end George Fant, no. Wide receiver Treylon Burks, I think I'm keeping him around. I'm sticking with him here. He's a first-round talent who did perform in the one game, and I'm expecting him to play this weekend and play well. Wide receiver Robbie Chosen, no. Edge rusher Preston Smith, no. Defensive line Jalen Holmes, no. Edge rusher Drake Jackson, no. Guard Chris Paul, I think you have to because he's your starter, which sucks. Restricted free agents, tight end Tyree Jackson, no. Kicker Jake Moody, we haven't even seen him. I don't know what my mood is on Jake Moody. Running back Chris Rodriguez, I guess you're keeping him. There's just not many building blocks on this roster.
It's an old roster, and it wants it, or at least it should want to become younger.
I mean,
that's the future with Jaden, right?
I do think that that take is getting tired of it being an old roster, because it's old because of Bobby Wagner and Von Miller for the most part. If you take them off, it becomes a lot younger of a roster. It's not one of the younger rosters in the NFL for sure, but Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, and Von Miller are what's making this be such an old roster.
But most of the names you just listed off, and even those three are still pretty big contributors to this team. You can say we have all these young guys if you take these guys out, but it's not going to, you know, make the young guys contribute more. It's still the old guys that are contributing to this team.
No, I'm not paying those guys any money to come back here and just end their career here in Washington. Like, this is the hardest job Adam Peters is going to have this offseason. This offseason is going to be much more difficult than year one when he drafted Jaden Daniels. Much more difficult than year two, because he thought he had a team that was on the edge of being a Super Bowl contender. We went from a team that was 1 year away to all of a sudden we feel like we're 2.5 years away. Like, there's absolutely zero momentum towards being a Super Bowl contender right now with your quarterback sidelined, with your young stars not producing, and with one of the older rosters in the league. I believe Adam Peters is the right guy for the job, and I think he's going to hit a couple home runs this offseason. But this is going to be one of the most difficult offseasons that he will have. Last year, I thought it was the most important offseason. I'm going to say this year is the most difficult offseason of his career in Washington. The clock is ticking on Jaden Daniels' rookie contract. And you gave a lot of money to Terry McLaurin. You're going to have to give a lot of money to Jaden Daniels. And the wins just haven't been there this year. Next year and the year after, those two seasons have to be playoff teams. You have to give yourself a bite at the apple. You got to get in the postseason and have a chance to win it. This year, I get it. It was a setback, right? It was a huge setback. But one that you can build off of, because they're going to get a good draft pick. You cannot miss the playoffs 2 years in a row while Jaden Daniels is on a rookie contract. Next year becomes the most difficult year of Adam Peters' career in Washington.
I think one of the big questions from what you brought up is going back to the very first thing, Brandon Ayuk. Say you can get him or Deebo Samuel for the same money, somewhere around $20 million. Which one would you rather have? Are you keeping Deebo or are you moving on to Ayuk, who can stretch the field a little more?
The truth is, I don't think either of them is the answer, because I think those two guys are not going to give you the production of their contract value, right? What we need to do is draft the next Justin Jefferson, draft the next Brian Thomas, draft the next great wide receiver here in Washington. And so I think there's a chance that neither Ayuk or Deebo Samuel are on the team next year, and that it's another couple draft picks. At tight end, probably going to need to be a draft pick. Problem is, we only have five draft picks, right?
Right.
So you're really limited here, and that's why I think you're going to see Adam Peters. He's going to have to strike a trade in the offseason, like he did to get Deebo Samuel. Maybe there's a trade scenario with an Ayuk and the 49ers if they don't release him fully. Maybe there's a trade scenario for another tight end that's out there, right? I mean, I think we can improve it at tight end without having to go to the draft.
Yeah, and like you said, they just don't have a lot of draft picks. You've identified 5, 6, 7 holes, and they only have 5 or 6 draft picks to fix all those holes.
Yeah.
They're going to have to dip into the free agency pool. They have the money to do it. That's the thing. They have so much money to spend in free agency. They just didn't do it last offseason.
And they have to spend it right. The way they spent this offseason looks stupid with Terry McLaurin playing 2 games. It looks stupid. It cost us the season. It kind of ruined the vibes in the offseason. It sucked. That can't happen again. I think that there's a chance that this team can find a tight end in a free agency here to produce more than what Zach Ertz has given them. There has to be a young guy that's going to run out of his first contract, right? I mean, how old is Sam Laporta now in Detroit? That was 2023. But I think there's... What would that be, a 2022 first-round pick or a second-round pick at tight end? Maybe a TJ Hockenson or something? Like, there's going to be guys that we're not really familiar with right now because they're on another team not getting as much run as they should that are going to become free agents.
How much would you spend for a guy like Isaiah Likely? I'm pretty sure he's up at the end of the season.
Yeah. I don't know, like $14 million? Not the most. But, yeah, pending free agents. Juwan Johnson's at the top of the list. Evan Engram. I mean, I don't like this list that much, though. but yeah, that's going to be the thing. Pending free agents, tight ends next year. Travis Kelce's at the top of the list. I'm not interested. He's too old. Does Washington put some money on maybe a Kyle Pitts, right? That's a bigger name. I don't think we want Austin Hooper, Noah Fant, Mo Alie-Cox. Dallas Goedert, right? I mean, he's a little younger than a Zach Ertz. There's going to be options out there. But the best case scenario is obviously that over the next six games of the season, you play, you start, you develop, you get production from Ben Sinnott, and he becomes your tight end of the future. You always have to believe there's a chance that the guy is currently on your roster, and you have to have a plan B if he's not. We will find out at the end of this season. If Ben Sinnott does not show up, I absolutely think you need to spend on a starting tight end next year. And I don't think you're putting money on Zach Ertz anymore. I think this year was enough that it was eye-opening. He had too many false starts, too many drops, too many damn veterans days off. It's not helping. Team needs to practice. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, I have been having a lot of fun with the ESPN All-State Playoff Predictor. It lets you choose one team of the 24 teams with the best chance to make the 12-team college football playoffs and has them in order, and you can find out if you think your team will be in the dance, included in the 12-team college football playoffs. I think it's been a great move for college football. It's added more excitement to some of these late November, early December games. It's given, you know, G5 teams an opportunity to feel like they can play for a national championship. But it just feels like it's trending towards expansion again. I could see this thing getting up to 16, maybe even 24 teams before it is all said and done. It's time to go around college football and discuss the college football playoffs here on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So I wanted to go through this, and of course, Jeremy, J Money on AWOD Radio, is a JMU Duke, and we are going to keep our eyes on the Dukes as well as UVA. All right. So you tell me why this popped up here. I find this kind of interesting. The latest predictor has Navy in with a less than 1% chance. They need, what, North Texas or Tulane to lose so they can get into the American Conference Championship and then would need to win that.
Yeah, they were the team that knocked off Memphis when they – or excuse me, USF when they were that group of five favorite teams. So that puts them a little bit in the race for the American. They had a little bit of a cupcake schedule. Their losses so far, one came against Notre Dame, so they still are alive for that American Championship, which is why they still have got a chance. 1%. Would they still take Notre Dame? Would they still take Navy over JMU? I don't know, but it's again that American Conference bias they've been showing. They've definitely got a chance.
Arizona State comes in here with a small chance, also just above 1%, and they've made things interesting with their three-game win streak inside of the Big 12 at 6-2 in conference play and 8-3 overall. They still need a lot of help. They will close their season against Arizona, who's not bad, 5-3, 8-3 overall. They would need a loss by BYU and a loss by Utah, or a loss by Texas Tech and by Utah to get in. And then they would have to win the Big 12 to get in, but that's why they have a chance. Pittsburgh has a 3% chance, and Pitt kind of really did hurt their chances. I thought when if they beat Notre Dame, that was going to really give them a chance. But that win over Georgia Tech made the chaos scenario certainly still possible in the ACC because there are three teams with a 6-1 record: SMU, Pitt, and the UVA Cavaliers. Pitt currently sits in the college football playoff rankings at 24 from last week, and they have a 3% chance right now. They need a lot of help. And I wonder, do you think if Pitt is the ACC champion, would they be in over every other conference champion that's not Big 12, Big 10, and the SEC?
You have to think so. I know that's a bad loss they just took to Notre Dame, but they're still in it. They are still, I think, pretty well respected, obviously still being ranked in that top 25.
That win over Georgia Tech was impressive.
That was huge. They needed that one. They were up like 28-0
before
they
blew
the game
even
started. Georgia Tech's a good team. If Georgia Tech wins against Georgia, that's going to boost that resume even more. But they're already showing that if Pitt wins, they're going to be ahead of a James Madison, only behind the American. So maybe they get the 12 seed and the American gets the 11 seed in that scenario.
4% chance for Texas. I would have thought that Texas was eliminated, but they still believe a win over Texas A&M is going to be a big enough resume booster that they're going to be in the conversation. I just completely disagree. But everybody's saying you're going to give them probably 10% chance if they win that game. Now, they would probably need some help as well. Like Alabama losing to Auburn would certainly be the help that they need. But I just... I don't think Texas deserves a spot. That's my take on that. What do you think?
I agree. Three losses should eliminate you, but I think the committee's looking at it with the Ohio State loss being the best loss in the country. Yeah. That's a stupid term. I hate that term.
No, three losses, you're eliminated unless you're in the SEC. That's what seems to be the rule. 7% chance that Michigan gets in. Look, I actually think this should be higher because Michigan has a chance to make the ultimate statement, and that is against Ohio State. Yes, they are hosting this game. They won it last year. They seem to have the upper hand on Ryan Day in those meetings there. But a 10-2 Michigan team that only has one loss in conference play has to be included, I feel like.
100%. They'd have that best win in the country. I'd slide them in above Notre Dame with their resume there. A loss to Oklahoma, that's a really good loss. A loss to USC, again, a pretty solid loss there. I think Michigan gets in with a win over Ohio State, and I think they'd probably slot in instead of Miami or Notre Dame, whoever would get that spot.
Yeah, the playoff predictor says, so Michigan would still miss out on their title game, right? Because they would be behind Ohio State or Indiana and Oregon, but they could get in with 31% chance. That's what the playoff predictor has for Michigan. All right, we get to Utah, and look, I think Utah is interesting, just like Arizona's interesting, but you need help, all right? You need help inside of your own conference. SMU is not being talked about at all, it seems like, but they are right in the thick of things in the ACC with a 6-1 record. They need the Hokies to prevail. Virginia Tech beats Virginia. SMU would face off against Pitt, most likely in the ACC championship game, and I would pick SMU.
They were
in that game last year. I think a lot of people sleep on Rhett Lashley as a coach and Kevin Jennings as their quarterback. Look, SMU is talented. They've shown how good they are in the ACC, and their 2 years in the ACC, they only have one loss still. So it would not shock me at all if they kind of backdoor got in to the ACC championship game and then won that to get into the college football playoffs. Vanderbilt sitting at 21%, and I don't think it should even be that high for Vanderbilt. What do you think?
It's a tough one. They are sitting in a spot in the rankings where they're first or second team out right now.
Yeah.
But they have a loss to Texas. They have a loss to Alabama. Those two teams, if they find their way in, are going to be ahead of Vanderbilt. So it just is a really, really tough scenario for Vandy right now. That percentage is at large. That's just chaos happening in front of them. Alabama loses again. Even with that head-to-head loss, they'll have a better resume, less losses overall. There's a chance, but I'm not super optimistic about it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how many people they would leap, right? With a win over Tennessee, who's below them. Like, if it was a win over Oklahoma, yeah, you would leap them. But so Texas A&M is in, Georgia's in, Ole Miss is in, Alabama I think would be in even with a loss because they're Alabama. Texas is probably not going to be in. That'd be the fifth team. Oklahoma, I think, could jump checks. Texas and be the sixth team in. Vanderbilt, you're not getting seven. You're not even probably getting six. There's a chance. There's also a scenario they don't even get five. I could see, because if Michigan wins, I think your Big Ten gets you four, and then you have to only get four from the SEC. But I will say, I think Vanderbilt does right now have a chance. And that win over Tennessee would look good. I just don't think it would be good enough. Tulane's ahead of them, and then we get to Virginia. And it's just unfair, I think, for Virginia, because here's what's going to happen. They beat Virginia Tech. They lose the ACC championship game. That becomes 0% chance of getting in. Unfortunately, we've been talking about this for more than a month now. They had to run the table, and they will still have to run the table. The Miami Hurricanes are the very interesting one because they are on the outside of the cut line looking in, behind even a Vanderbilt, but they've got one of the better resume-boosting wins in the win over Notre Dame. They also have three wins over top 25 teams in Notre Dame, South Florida, and Florida State. Will Pitt sneak into the top 25 this week?
I think they could.
Because Miami could have a fourth win over a top 25 team.
That's a big win. That's a big win against Georgia Tech. I think they get the respect, and I think they slide in.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so then you look at like the ACC. Is there a chance that UVA wins the ACC and Miami gets in also? I say yes, and I think that I keep going back to this. At the end of the season, when all games have been played, including your conference championships, when you are ranking the teams, at that point, head-to-head must matter. Right now, you can argue it doesn't, all right? Because you can argue that eventually Miami is going to lose or blah, 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 blah. If it's all said and done, and Notre Dame is 10-2 and Miami's 10-2, and both teams did not play in a conference championship, I think you have to pick the team that has the head-to-head win. BYU sitting at 49% right now, but I just think the Big 12 is only going to get one team in. And then you've got North Texas, 54%, JMU, 57.
Ooh.
What's your case for the Dukes here? A win over Coastal Carolina and a win in the Sun Belt Championship, and they should be in?
Yeah, absolutely. That's two pretty solid wins right there, plus the win that they had this last week against Washington State. The win against ODU counts the same in those net rankings as a win over Duke and Northwestern, which is the thing that all of these Tulane fans and American fans are saying. You beat Power 4 teams. They beat Power 4 teams. You did not. You have to look at the strength of those teams, though. I think JMU should be the favorite to get in. They're playing the best football out of anyone in the Group of Five right now.
Yeah, and this would be another big statement win on the road over Coastal Carolina. This is what I find so interesting about the playoff predictor. With JMU winning out, they would get in 78% of the time. This is how they think things would play out for JMU to get in. Ohio State's the 1 seed, Indiana's the 2 seed. Oregon's the 3. Georgia's the 4. 5, Oklahoma. 6, Texas Tech. 7, Alabama. So that's 3 SEC teams in. 8, Ole Miss. That's your 4th. 9, Notre Dame. 10 would be Miami. 11, JMU. 12, North Texas.
Wow.
Right? So that is 3 Big Ten. Four SEC, 1 Big 12, 2 ACC, and 2 from the G5.
That's an auto bid. That's an at large bid for one of the Group of Five teams. Then is it not?
I just don't see. This is why I think it's unlikely for JMU, because every scenario that they get in also has North Texas or Tulane in.
Right, and that doesn't make any sense to me. It's only going to be one. The ACC has not hit its chaos scenario to miss out on the playoffs. Miami's not going to get in unless they're an at-large at this point. And with two ACC teams, you filled all your auto bids. That projection is saying that JMU or North Texas is getting in at-large right now.
Yeah, and that's just because I think the system's broken. They realize that only North Texas or JMU can get in. That's what's going to happen. Because the committee doesn't... Here's the secret. The committee doesn't even want a G5 in.
No,
the committee wants another SEC or a Big Ten team in so they can get the ratings, so they can get everything that they want. The G5 representative, I think, is going to be either the American champion or the JMU Dukes. And the latest rankings has the highest percentage chance being North Texas at 83% to be the G5 representative. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWide Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball, and we are going to go inside the Ram Horns, presented by the Red Door Guys. If you need to sell your house fast, get in touch with the Red Door Guys today. Tell them AWOD sent you. They are the presenting sponsor of AWOD Radio Talk and VCU Basketball. We welcome in a very special guest right now. Make some noise in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat. It's Ed Nixon. What's up, Ed?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good here. And, of course, anytime we bring you on, we need to remind everyone that you were on the Final Four squad. And how life-changing that was for you and for the city of Richmond, man.
Man, it was a beautiful, beautiful moment in time. Something I would never, ever want to change. You know, we always have conversations about the NIL transfer portal and how much money we could have made back in the day. But at the same time, nothing could replace those memories and just that camaraderie we had back then.
Yeah, and the other thing I remind the audience is, for a lot of us, that feels like yesterday. But for current VCU students, they don't remember that because they were probably 5-6 years old.
I seen something on Facebook where it's like 17 years ago.
Right.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And so, we're trying to create the energy and the environment in the Siegel Center with the student section and go crazy like it was, 10, 12 years ago when you were building off of the momentum of the Final Four run. And so the Rams are heading to the Bahamas, though, for a key preseason tournament, the MTE multi-team event. And so before we preview that, how many of these did you play in? What were your experiences playing in these preseason tournaments, Feast Week, while a member of the VCU Rams?
They were always good, man. I remember playing in Madison Square Garden. We played Tennessee and UCLA that year. I think we split 1-1. But it's always a good experience. Always get to test yourself early to see where you're at, see what you need to improve on. Now, this team here, they need to go ahead and take care of business. The CAA, my senior year, we end up having three teams go to the tournament. So we were kind of stacked. But this team in the A-10 and how the committee has been treating the A-10, this is a very important tournament for VCU.
Yeah, I mean, this is their last chance outside of New Mexico, really, to build their resume. And you have got to take advantage of the games that you can play, and you also have to put yourself in position to play better games. And that's why winning the first game is so important, to put yourself in the winner's bracket here.
Absolutely. You never want to start off in a loser's bracket because you never know who you're going to play. Now, there are some circumstances where a team may just get upset and you get a chance to play them, you beat them, and they go off and have a wonderful season. But take care of business by winning the games you're supposed to win.
South Florida and VCU kind of mirror each other. Both teams can get up and down the court. I actually thought that the Rams had the perfect tune-up against Coppin State because they had 24 first-half free throw attempts. We needed to live at the free throw
right,
line, dude.
Right. And this team is so talented and they're so deep. And when you look at it, like, okay, well, how are we losing these games? And it's all small things,
yeah. You
know, and free throws is definitely one of those things we can improve on. And I think we've been doing a little bit better as the games go on, but if we can get that up to the high 70s, I think we'll be in good shape.
It was also a great tune-up for the Rams because they blew the doors off of Coppin State and got to empty their benches. It was great to see Jordan Tillery, Dumont out there as well. So what did you think of the fact that we had 11 players score at least 6 or more points?
It just is evidence of how deep they are. And what I also love about it is when you see the guys that get the majority of the minutes cheering those guys on.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in the NIL transfer portal era, chemistry is something that needs to be built every single day. And when you have an opportunity like that to blow a team out that you're supposed to blow out, you know, no offense, but you're supposed to blow them out, and you get your guys that don't get the minutes in there, and you get to see them excel, it's just something that brings the team closer together. So I'm really glad that Jordan Tillery and Dumont got a chance to go out there and show what they were
made
of.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was my favorite part of watching the game, was watching the reaction from the bench, which is the starters sitting on the bench watching the bench players perform.
Right, right. So, you know, we always had our, you know, our walk-ons, like shout out to David Hinton, Tory Burstyn.
Yeah.
You know, those guys.
Henderson.
I was about to say Henderson. Yeah. So all those guys that, you know, day in and day out still put their blood, sweat, and tears into the program and really don't get to see it. So when they get an opportunity and they take advantage of, especially like Tillery, he was going off, you know, you get those to see the fruits of their labor is also really dope.
So the Rams landed in the Bahamas yesterday, and they will practice yesterday, today, and then tomorrow, shoot around before they take on South Florida. The Bahamas is interesting, right? Because it's one of those tournaments where you are playing inside of a ballroom rather than a gymnasium.
Right, and I've played in the Bahamas before under Anthony Grant, I want to say.
Okay.
And I believe we played, Miami. I think we played Miami. That's the only team I can really remember because they had – they had Jimmy Graham to end up being the tight end.
Yeah.
So I vaguely remember that, but it is a small ballroom, but at the same time, it's so compact. The VCU fans, the Ramley, as I like to call them, travel very well. So they're going to be down there, and they're going to have a good environment to go out there and play some good basketball.
Yeah, and another reason I think the Rams struggled with their free throw shooting earlier was the environments. Neutral site against Utah State, a packed house Lenovo Center against NC State. What's the depth perception going to be like on some of these shots in a ballroom?
I mean, it should be better. It should resemble something of a practice facility.
Yeah.
You know, opposed to being it like in the Final Four, we played in a stadium where there's a big backdrop. Well, this is closed in, so it should be more of a practice. Depth perception wise, it should be more of like something that you'll see in the BDC, the practice facility. So I don't expect them to have any issues with that.
Ed Nixon hanging out with us here. We are previewing the Battle for Atlantis. It's VCU against South Florida. Also got the Hokies in there as well. We'll give you our thoughts on the tournament coming up next. You're listening to the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball. The Rams are in the Bahamas. The Battle for Atlantis. Tip-off tomorrow, 2:30. All right, 2:30 right here on 910 The Fan, 145 Good Feet Store pregame show, tip-off show before Robbie Robinson, Rodney Ashby will be on the call. If you want to watch the early game, find out who our opponent might be for game two, Western Kentucky against Vanderbilt. Tips off at 12 noon on ESPN. The later game is Colorado State against Virginia Tech, and then Wichita State St. Mary's to close out day one from the Bahamas. So the Rams, if they win, will play at 12 noon. If they lose, they will play at Thanksgiving on 5:30 p.m. That cannot happen.
It won't happen. Let's say it that way. It won't happen.
I like to hear that. Ed Nixon hanging out with us here. You going to be on the call for any of the upcoming games in December, do you know?
Yes, I have a few games. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I'll be around. I think my last game will be St. Bonaventure.
Ed Nixon on the call alongside Sean Robertson. So, you know, what do you think of this field in the battle for Atlantis? We played Colorado State last year. The Hokies are off to a good start, and they will not schedule the Rams. So we have to find a way to play them with a couple of wins. St. Mary's has beaten VCU the last few times, it feels like, in NCAA tournament games. Wichita State, I think back to Clay Anthony Early, came to town and beat us at the Siegel Center when I was like a sophomore. And then Vanderbilt in Western Kentucky. Vanderbilt got a good coach. Mark Byington was at JMU.
Yeah, so the field is really good. It's very competitive. Of course, Vanderbilt, you know, if we take care of business, we'll probably be facing Vanderbilt, which another opportunity for a quad one win. I'm looking forward to hope that we can play the Hokies. I miss seeing Toby.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a really impressive freshman over there as well.
Yeah, he's a 22-year-old freshman by the name of Neokalis Avdalis, who is from Greece. He's repped by the same agent who reps Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's a hired gun. He is
absolutely
a one-and-done that will be a top 15 pick. They never see that in Blacksburg.
They don't. And I've seen a story about how it came about. It was just one of those fortunate situations that just worked its way out. And shout out to them. J.D. Byers, former coach, still over there. I got mad love and respect for him, so I wish them the best, except when they play the black and gold.
Yeah, but St. Mary's is probably the most talented team in this field, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're always tough. They're always well coached.
You know, I believe they're undefeated coming into their game against Wichita State.
They're always physical, and they just play the game the right way. And they'll make you pay for your mistakes. So you got to play a really clean game if you want to be them.
VCU Ram Nation, if you got a question for me or Ed Nixon about the Rams or this upcoming tournament here, Feast Week, that you can hear on 910 The Fan, give us a call right now, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. I have a lot of people come up to me during the pregame show, and they ask me, who is this team, this year's squad's big shot maker?
Well, I think that's still to be determined. You know what I mean? We have a good problem that we have depth, but most teams have that go-to guy, and right now I'm leaning towards Tracy.
Yeah, and last year we knew it was Shoga all season long. The year before we all had that question,
right?
Who's it going to be? And it ended up being Shoga.
Yeah.
But all of last year, the team and the fans knew it was Shoga.
Absolutely, and I think that's a very comfortable situation to be in. And as this team grows, I think in progresses, we're going to get to that point. You know, but as of right now, I'm leaning towards Tracy. But they have so many guys that could be doing it. You know what I mean? I really think Barry Evans is one of the guys that could be a big shot maker. But more so, he's more so getting all the way to the cup.
It's interesting because I think this team's best play to hit a big shot would be maybe Tracy driving and kicking to Ward, or Tracy driving and kicking to Lewis, or something like that. I think the big play would come from teamwork rather than individual this season.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Terrence Hill, I've seen him on multiple occasions throughout practice, throughout scrimmages, hit big shot after big shot after big shot. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an opportunity to knock some down, and he will.
Yeah, he's got multiple and one three-pointers this season. He has added so much lift to his shot. It reminds me of Joe Bamisdell, and it's helping him draw fouls because you have to give him a spot to land.
Yeah, absolutely. But see, this is the thing that we really didn't get to see last year from Hill, and it's really because we had so much maturity and talent in the guard position. But now we have 3 to 4 guards, sophomores, freshmen, red shirts, that nobody really has that much experience, and they're all just trying to figure it out, so they're competing, which makes them all better.
Lazar Djokovic, I've been calling him Godzilla. I love what he's brought for the Rams. So far early in the season, though, how have you felt like his game has improved, and what does he give us that maybe the Rams haven't had before?
I would say probably since maybe Jamie Skeen or Javonte Redick, or maybe even, what's my guy's name from Michigan? He came with Zeb Jackson.
Oh, Brandon Johns Jr.
Johns Jr.
Yeah.
But I would lean to see.
But he was a little undersized, but he certainly backed people down.
Right. So that's where Djokovic is a little bit different, because he can shoot the three. He can put the ball on the floor. He can go back to the basket. And defensively, he's a shot blocker as well.
Yeah.
So,
and I love when they just get him a paint touch and he can kick it back out as well.
Absolutely. So he's probably the most versatile of all the bigs we had at VCU for a long time. Don't get me wrong. I swear by Jamie Skene. If I had to choose one, I'm choosing Jamie Skene. But but as far as just the defensive,
Jamie Skene didn't have the athletic ability. That Lazar has. Yeah.
He didn't. He didn't have the athletic ability or the size. So that's why I think he's something we haven't seen in the black and gold in a very long time.
What would you point to that you want to see him take to the next level in the Bahamas?
Mean streak.
Yeah.
Mean streak.
Start jamming on people.
Jamming on people, posting up hard, demanding the ball, all those little things like that. I just want to see him develop a little bit of more of a mean streak. Now, when he goes up, he's going to put it on your head regardless.
Yeah, you know, but I think he can develop into an all conference center if he gets that mean streak.
Oh, absolutely.
In him, right?
Everything else is there.
Right.
Everything else is there. There's nothing on the floor he can't do.
Like what Daron Holmes did with Dayton, where it was, hey, feed him the ball. That sets up our offense.
Absolutely, and we have shooters, we have slashers, we have everything to add to that pot. And if he decides to do that, then I think VCU goes to that next level.
Ed Nixon hanging out with us here on AWOD Radio. The Rams take on South Florida tomorrow at 2:30. What's your scouting report look like?
Well, they're also a pretty deep team. They have five guys averaging double figures, but they really have a three-headed monster, guys averaging 15 points or more. They're averaging just about 100 points a game. They're an above-average rebounding team, but everything else is pretty much similar to VCU. So it's going to be competitive. I just want to see if South Florida has the same competition level that VCU has played and see where that goes. And VCU has learned from the mistakes. I've seen them grow within each game, and I just want to see if who wants it more, because I think that's what this tournament is going to come down to, who wants it more. Everything else, X's and O's, you know, leave that up to the coaches. But as far as the players and what we can tell by off a stat sheet, it's going to come down to who wants it more.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I do think that the Rams have a chance to win a shootout with South Florida because I think we have more guys that can score. I wonder, though, can we play a full, solid 40 minutes defensively? Like, against Coppin State, they were locked in defensively.
Absolutely. It comes down to playing honest defense, right? We want to be able to guard our men, defend the basketball, not gamble as much, not get ourselves out of position, take the charges when they're there, you know, get a clean rebound. I think rebound is going to be important as well.
Yeah.
VCU, for their length and their athleticism, is underachieving in the rebounding category. We should be dominating the boards with our athleticism, but we don't. And when it comes to winning close games, which I imagine they're going to run into during this tournament, they're going to need to improve on that if they want to execute and pull out some of these games.
Yeah, and I think defensively it's all about like not letting the score dictate how you defend. They defended so well against NC State when they found themselves down by 9. They defended so well against Utah State when they found themselves down by 18. They got to start the game with that level of defense.
Absolutely, and that comes from leadership. That comes from leadership. Of course, the coaches are barking at them, right? Do this, do this, do this, do this. But that comes from leadership. And they have Tracy. They have Barry Evans. They have Brandon Jennings. I need those guys to elevate their communication and let that trickle down to everybody else, and so they can become I want them to be a dominant defensive team. And that's going to make their offense that much better because we're really good in transition.
The Rams tip off tomorrow at 2:30 right here on 910 The Fan. Ed, thanks for stopping by, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Always.
Always appreciate it. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.